just in time for peak travel season, dead fish have been washing ashore on some popular Lake Michigan beaches. This is the Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams. Most recently, this has been happening in parts of the Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore. But while it's certainly unpleasant for swimmers, it signals some good news for the state's sport fishery. Linda Steffen explains why.
These little silver fish are called alewives. They are an invasive species, meaning they weren't originally designed for the cold waters of the Great Lakes. Their numbers exploded back in the 1960s.
Beach owners would actually have to bring in bulldozers and front end loaders to deal with it.
Jay Wesley manages the Southern Lake Michigan fishery for the state of Michigan.
Then salmon were introduced in the late 60s as a kind of an experiment to see if they would forage on alewife, and they did. And the salmon also created a world-class sport fishery in the Great Lakes.
So alewives feed salmon, and these days state fisheries managers like to see them do well. No one likes die-offs, which mean the fish are stressed coming out of winter and heading into the spawning season. But since they're not totally adapted to this habitat, it's somewhat inevitable. And so the die-off is also evidence there's food in Lake Michigan for salmon. Good news, because anglers have been nervous. In the last decade or so, alewives haven't always done so well. For the Environment Report, I'm Linda Steffen.
This is the Environment Report. With all the heat this week, ice sounds pretty good right about now. Sarah Asiego is going a long way for some ice this summer. She's heading to Greenland. She's an assistant professor in the Department of Earth and Environmental Sciences at the University of Michigan, and she studies glaciers. She pioneered a new way to determine the age of dust trapped in glacial ice, and she joins me to talk more about this. So by going back in time and studying the age of the dust that's in this ice, can you then make predictions about what might happen with the ice sheets in the future?
Right, that's the kind of the holy grail. One of the reasons that our methodologies for looking at the age of ice, and also we also work on the age of water, so meltwater underneath the ice, is important is because one of the things that we don't really understand is timing or rates. And that's because, you know, we can say, you know, 100,000 years ago or 120,000 years ago it was warmer, but we don't quite understand is how fast, you know, melting happened in the past, and predictions for the future on how melting is going to impact sea level rise, which is, you know, one of the things that people really think about, right, sea level rise and, you know, coastal communities and displacement of people. That's the huge human implication.
You are essentially on the front lines of climate change. You're studying glaciers as they melt, and you're seeing things that most of us are never going to get to see. What's that been like for you?
I almost do a disconnect. You know, when you see how much a glacier has retreated, you really feel the impact of climate change, that there's a certain pessimism that we're going to be able to do anything about it, and that, or at least do anything about it before it's too late for people to be able to go and see these things. The first year that I was in Antarctica, it was really cold. This is what you expect, that you're in Antarctica and it will always be cold. And then the next year I was down there was the first year that we had that really, really warm summer in the southern hemisphere. It was, I think, 2003. And there were days when I was out on this glacier and I was in a t-shirt. And I just thought, this is not right. So I think when you're out there and you see it right up in your face, it's really clear what's happening. And then we come back and trying to explain to somebody that this is not normal is hard.
Sarah Asiego is an assistant professor in the Department of Earth and Environmental Sciences at U of M. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, Rebecca.
That's today's Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams.